All right. Well, we just want to take a moment and give you the opportunity to respond to God's word. If anyone has a question or comments or something like that, they can please just ask it. I was thinking, sitting here, you know, many of our friends, if they heard somebody put a curse on them, how urgent would they take that? They would take that pretty urgently. If they heard somebody put a curse on them, guys, listen to me. If you heard somebody put a curse on you, I know some of you would be you'd be shaking. You would take that very seriously. But listen, if you're not a believer, if your relationship with God is not right, you are living under the curse. Not the curse of some little guy that lives in a, you're under the curse of God. Why does that not weigh heavy with us? Why are we so afraid of this little guy over here and the little curse he might make our life? We might not get a job or something. We're worried about that. When God says the curse is eternal judgment, it's a big deal. And let's pray that we can speak of it in such a way that shows we believe it's a big deal. But let's pray that God will open up the eyes of our friends so they'll see it is a big deal. And there's a means of escape. It's a beautiful means of escape. It has nothing to do with the Sangoma or anything like that. It has to do with Jesus dying on the cross. And we can be free from that curse forever. Brian, trying not to preach the next sermon.
Thank you, Pastor Josh. That was a really wonderful teaching of the passage. This is a comment, it's not a question.
Sure.
So, the thing that I found in this writing about what Jesus' response to the question by the audience, about Pilate and Pilate killing the Galileans in the temple, is that you'd expect Jesus, being a Jew, to actually say, look, this is an abomination, because Pilate mingled the blood of humans with the sacrifice. Yet instead, he actually doesn't even comment about that.
Yeah.
And he comments about the need for repentance. And I think sometimes as believers, we tend to put a lot of value in our traditions and, things like coming to church or even sharing the gospel. Sometimes we are so focused on the act of church and rather than on the message of repentance, which really is what transforms.
Exactly, great point.
Transforms us and transforms
that's a great point. That's a great point. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, and they weren't just Jews, they were Galileans. So they were from his home, province. So yeah, this is something you would have expected Jesus to answer so differently. But he kept the urgent matter urgent. And sometimes it's easy for us to get distracted. Sure. Yeah.
This makes me make sure to the next. I just want to know after repentance, would still God count all those things? And would you help me the passage maybe if you let God make it after repentance?
Sure.
And on our wife and his wife, everything? And would you help me the list to help
share the gospel? Beautiful. So believers won't stand before the judgment seat of God in the same way that unbelievers will. Because all of our sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done. And so that's the beautiful thing about faith and repentance, is that God erases the debt. And there are many passages that teach us that. But of course, one would be 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us our sins and to forgive us from all unrighteousness. Also, passages like Romans 8:1, which says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Also, passages like Colossians chapter 2, or Colossians chapter 1, Verse 21 and 22, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Reconciled means he's made peace. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13, "And you who once were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." And so there are so many great promises of mercy, and that's what we need to really share with people. If you'll repent, if you will truly turn from your sin, God will completely erase the debt. Past, present, future, sins all forgiven. All forgiven. Yes, you're okay.
We give thanks to God for hearing from His word this afternoon. My question, beyond the signs of true repentance, Scripture talks about how God is sorrow as well as sorrow. Would you perhaps help us to just be able to maybe mention some of the signs of true repentance, of true godly sorrow?
Okay. So, Psalm 51 would be a great psalm to read through, and Psalm 32. Both of those psalms were written basically to show us what true repentance looks like. So Psalm 51 and Psalm 32, if you read through that and try to notice some of the characteristics of true repentance. But, for example, one mark of true repentance is that you're not coming to God making the bargain. You're not coming to God saying, "God, forgive me because I've done all this." You come to God saying, "Have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I deserve judgment. I don't have anything I can offer to you. I just need you to forgive me." So one sign is a true... false repentance is always kind of coming up with the buts. Or I will do this, God, if you do that. True repentance comes completely seeking God's mercy. True repentance also doesn't change terms for sin. When you truly are repentant, you call sin what it is. So false repentance would be, "Well, I had an affair," or something. It comes up with new words for sin to make it sound like less than sin. Whereas true repentance is like, "That was against God. And that was transgression, that was sin." So true repentance calls sin for what it is. True repentance is not just about external sin, it's also about internal sin. So false repentance often is just more concerned somebody saw me do something bad, or I want to get my outside cleaned up so I'm not embarrassed as much. And true repentance is I want to deal with the heart issue. False repentance would be more concerned about what people think, where true repentance is more concerned about what God thinks. So false repentance is more concerned about the consequences of that sin. True repentance is more concerned about the glory of God. True repentance is willing to do whatever it takes to obey God. So if somebody says, "I'm really repentant of my pornography, you know, I've been watching pornography, I'm so repentant of it." And I say, "Okay, that's beautiful. I'm so glad that you're repenting of that. You know, what steps have you taken to stop watching pornography?" And they're like, "Oh, no steps to taken to stop. I haven't taken any steps." I say, "Okay, well, let's think of some things. Where do you watch pornography?" And they're like, "Well, I watch it on my phone." You know, I said, "Well, then why don't we get rid of the internet on your phone?" "No, I can't do that because I gotta, you know, email people and stuff like that." That's probably not a sign of true repentance, because true repentance sees the sin for what it is and wants to do whatever it takes to really truly change and turn. And I think long term, true repentance, maybe the photo of true repentance and false repentance looks very similar. So what I mean is, you take a picture of somebody who's false repentant, somebody who's truly repentant, the photo looks like they're doing the same things. But then you watch the video, And slowly but surely you see the truly repentant person turning. And sometimes he goes back, but he keeps moving this way, you know, he's like that, and it's like he's turning. Whereas the false repentant person, it's like this. You know. And once the pressure's off. So those would be some of the differences between true and false repentance. Well, let's not be content with false repentance, and let's pray that God helps us truly, genuinely repent. If you're here today and God's Word spoke to you and you want to know more about becoming a believer, please don't keep putting this off. I'll tell you what Satan wants you to do is he wants you to say, you know, I'll deal with this later, and then go home and watch some TV or put on some music and then forget about all of this. Get you so distracted by the world that you don't do anything. So if you are sensing that God's speaking to you, please speak to someone. Alan is back there. Andre's over here. Safari's back there. There's plenty of different people. Nixon's over here. Lots of guys. Pretty much many of the... You can just turn and talk to someone. We all want to... It would all be happy, a joy to be able to talk to you about that. And then, guys, let's take this message out this week. Let's take this message out. Andre, are you going to close this here?